Radio Okie-Tokie, Radio Okie-Tokie.
Hello, welcome and good evening. Tonight is the third edition of Team Rabbit Hole live at Okie-Tokie. Once again with the most wonderful, amazingly holographic Jim. Good evening, Jim. How are you?
Pretty good. Yourself?
Thank you. I am most amazing. We have, once again, various topics to discuss. We will see what direction we will take this time inside the infinite fractal of creation. We actually also had planned to invite a guest, which may or may not appear tonight. So what my suggestion would be, Jim, you just take it away, whatever you would like to go into or whatever the main topics are for you that have been floating around.
Right on. Yeah, my friend is going, or she just had a family member die. So I think she's going through some grief. I don't think she'll be talking, but she's cool. Her name is Melanie Bell, and I'm glad she was willing to go on. I'm actually at her house down in Florida right now visiting. I've been here for a few days. We've been talking about art and Team Rabbit Hole and just kind of future stuff. But basically, I just actually got through done hosting every week I host a chakra meditation, like a tune-up, and that just ended. So I'm kind of in a Zen mode as we speak.
Well, that sounds perfect, I would say, no? Perfect for any and all explorations that we could possibly wish to undertake.
Right, and I actually put a card for this, and I got the Hierophant. So hopefully we'd be spitting some hot fire.
I like it. What it always says is, you know, help from superiors, help from above, maybe to even start it off or whatever. We can get right to it as archetypes is one of our topics, if you agree.
Totally.
Well, the first idea that I always, always, always like to mention when speaking of things such as those in the tarot, the Hierophant, of course, the most obvious correlation in my mind, at least, is, you know, the High Priest, which, of course, also in today's societies, we have many individuals who would assume to either just facilitate a connection in the most positive sense, or as we have it today in culture, quite often individuals in whatever assumed position of authority believe that they can, you know, decide for you, or at least they kind of suggest that they could fix things for you within the structure that we call hierarchy, or even in a sense a hierarchical society. Yet here, what I really like about the wording is that hierarchy, at least as I understand it, if hieros, or the first part of it, actually means holy, and the second part means order or rule, then it would actually mean the holy order or the divine order, which is, of course, quite a different perspective than having someone or something above or below you in terms of conception.
Right. It's funny to think about because I think there's a necessary factor somewhat, it seems, between organizing processes. So it seems that structure and hierarchy and, you know, not necessarily pyramidal, but like top-down kind of organization is something that seems to be very replete in this reality. I'm not sure if it's something that we're evolving through or if it's like a permanent kind of structure of reality, but it's weird. Just even looking at the Hierophant card, this is not Rider Waite. This is a zombie tarot deck that I've got. And it's connoting just authority and what to trust. And in this kind of postmodern age, is not getting necessarily more difficult to know who to trust, but there's so many competing voices. And they all seem relatively okay. Some are better than others. I wonder how you tend to look at your information gathering in this kind of postmodern era.
Information gathering in terms of what sources I personally trust?
Well, we could talk about that, sure. Because I know I've, over the years, there's kind of hiccups of people being like, oh, that's a good source or that's a bad source. And sometimes it has lots of populism. Sometimes it has to do with actual facts. But just in a super saturated kind of climate in terms of information, what are some of the things that you tend, and there's no right or wrong answer, I'm just curious, what are some of the kind of things in terms of getting authority from others, i.e. hierophants, like how do you tend to go about trying to find the best epistemological frameworks to use and such like that?
Right, so the main idea, of course, or the first idea would be simply, well, trusting your own intuition. And that's maybe, you know, may almost sound like a cop-out, but this is, of course, a skill that everyone can master. And as I have been recently mentioning also at this alien conference I've been to recently, is I'm sure you know this concept of human design for the generators. Not everyone is a generator in human design, but as a basic principle idea, just this reconnection with the body and actually being able to feel within your own body whatever information you're presented with or whatever action is being proposed to you, whether immediately within your body, or in this case, it would kind of be like your belly or something. In German, they call it Bauchgefühl. In English, I guess it's a gut feeling, right? To actually develop a connection with your body, first of all, and be able to kind of read the feedback that your body gives you. I think this is actually one of the maybe even most effective and non-mind locked-in approaches, if you can understand what I mean.
I do. Just the kind of stuff. I know recently, Dark Crystal, there's a kind of a reboot or a 2.0 kind of coming out on Netflix right now. I haven't watched it. But even that whole concept in that film of Skeksis and mystics and stuff, it seems that everybody is in the story of life has a character and a role to play. So there might be more archetypal resonances towards certain parties or not, whether you want to be Slytherin or, you know, not kind of vibes. But with the Dark Crystal thing, it's, and pulling the Hierophant card, I'm at a point personally, I don't know about you, where especially having done a lot of psychedelics recently, I'm kind of at a place where I'm not sure. It's not a total existential freak out, but it's like one of those moments where you kind of look around and you just realize there's a lot of hearsay and maybe impassioned beliefs, but what are they grounded on, and how much should you listen, how much should one listen to the opines and opinions and stuff of others? And that's kind of a nihilistic kind of position, right? More dark. But then at the same time, knowing that we're all interconnected and that we're all telling each other kind of, or not telling, helping each other kind of get through reality, which lends itself more to kind of communalism and trust and things like that. I'm rambling. I guess my point is, if there was a point, you're saying just follow your gut. How do we go through information these days well, and how can we know which data sets to acquire for ourselves versus what's just out in the buffet of options?
Yeah, so aside from the, let's say, body resonance, which one can get a feeling for it, you know, through any type of, as you also do, you know, meditation, body work, yoga, whatever, just, you know, reestablishing this connection and again being really able to like read your body. I always like to liken this to, even as a child, if you can remember, you're kind of excited all the time and you could immediately and very obviously feel if you have energy for something or not, or if something interests you or not. So it's very much about reconnecting with that aspect. And aside from that, at least for me personally, but this was just, you know, my individual quest, let's say, was to kind of find a worldview that allows for the inclusion of all possible perspectives, whilst at the same time kind of allowing me to understand all of them and also still choose my own. Because when you ask whom to listen to, the idea would in the end just be, well, whoever you want to listen to, I guess. The question would really be what it is, I guess, that you want to achieve, or where it is that you want to get. Not sure if that's a good answer.
No, it is a good answer. Like I said, I've been doing a bunch of psychedelics lately, so I think my mind is kind of just not spaced, but a little foggier than it could be normally, to the degree that I'm like, it's just amusing to me, kind of the ride we find ourselves on. And a lot of what we tend to do in terms of the scripting and the role playing is inherited. And some of these things are good. I mean, they are what they are. So it's like, it is what it is kind of thing. But there's probably better and worse scripting, and some scripts we might want to evolve out of entirely. But it's just funny, kind of. Every now and then I get these kind of monkey mind moments, I call like them, as where it's just being very aware of being in the body and mind in a particular way, like embedded nature. And just the kind of, it's not depressing, but it's kind of the grind that can be being, if that makes any sense at all. And sometimes I'm realizing, especially having been traveling a lot, like having a rhythm and kind of not totally ritualistic or sacramental times to the degree that you don't do anything else, but having one's rhythm and kind of artifacts and rituals, if you want to put it that way, for being really make much more of an impact than I would have guessed before. Just kind of getting on the road. I've been traveling for a week. I'll be traveling for a few more. And just doing little things, like I've been smoking weed every day. I'm not going to be doing that now so much, but I can just tell that I'm like a little off and a little tired. And it's just funny how, I don't know, I'm at a place where I'm not skeptical or jaded particularly, but I'm kind of looking at all the talking points and kind of groups from a very dispassionate place in a way that I've been observing for a while. And it kind of got this vibe of like, if it's almost comparing and contrasting, we have a lot of Virgo energy right now. I mean, basically everything but the moon is in Virgo in terms of Sun, Mars, Mercury, and Venus. So that might be also why I'm going through this kind of hyper analytical mental mode.
Well, this may explain a lot in many different ways. I'm not very aware of the current, let's say, astrological climate. But in a sense, I tend to agree, lots of Earth, definitely.
So, what do you want to talk about?
Well, there's an infinite array of things to talk about. Maybe there's, well, two, let's say, specific events we could also be discussing to whatever extent you may be interested. The one is the alien.de conference I've been to 2 weeks ago. And the other one is the Healing Roots Gathering Indigenous Coming Together, which is still happening right now in Austria, in Kautzen, where I've been to on the weekend.
Let's talk about both of them. I guess let's start with the alien one first because it happened already. What were the kind of conditions that got that to come about? You told me a little about it, but it's vague and it's been a few weeks, so refresh me.
Yes, well, gladly, you and everyone. So this was basically is a conference organized by Martin, and he has been active in the, let's say, UFO scene for many, many years, and apparently even already started at the end of the 90s to make his own website about these topics, and then kind of started connecting all different types of interested groups in Germany. And basically offered to do their website for them. So he got to know a lot of them. It got pretty big. Then he kind of closed it down. And now he is just doing these conferences. This was now the second time. It was pretty small. So we were like maybe in total, let's say maybe 70 people or something. And it happened in Frankfurt. So in Germany, in the same place where there's the European Central Bank, which I find incredibly amusing.
Nice. Yeah, and it seems like it was a scene that maybe you're not totally immersed in UFOs, but that you're somewhat peripherally a part of, and then this gave you an opportunity to talk about channeling and stuff like that, right?
Right, so the synchronistic idea, of course, happened that actually a friend of mine, well, also did a show here, Gerhard, he's a filmmaker, and he's also really into the whole channeling topics, and he's been around different conferences last year and met Martin, and got invited by him to specifically speak about channeling, because Martin himself actually knows about these things. He had private sessions with a few channelers, and so he knows all the kinds of researchers, but he also knows the channelers and so on. And as it happened, Gerhard hurt himself, so he wasn't able to travel, although he's going to be perfectly fine. So it's really a minor thing, but enough to make him unable to travel. And he basically said, well, it's totally important that someone will be there talking about channeling, because most of the people there were talking about abductions or about Well, maybe also about hypnosis, actually. There was even a talk which I found pretty interesting about, let's just say, well, the proper term is satanic ritual abuse. What can I say? Interestingly enough, by a hypnotherapist or psychologist who's only been researching this for about 2 years and comes from a really, like, as we would say, maybe for some grounded perspective, and was just giving a short, like, intro into this, because it also kind of, relates to the whole bigger picture. Then there's been some research about the pyramids presented, some alternative history ideas, inconsistencies, as I mentioned, about abductions, about precognizant dreams in a sense, and about technical UFO research where people really go out with the camera and just, try to catch lights and deduce that it's, neither a plane nor a balloon nor a drone and so on. So my friend said it's really relevant that someone will actually be speaking about channeling and about the idea that we have other ways to come into contact with the idea of being in contact with extraterrestrials or other types of consciousness, which is not, again, so much about, let's say, looking for lights in the sky in a way, even though it's also an external representation because, we have channelers, you have books and so on. But at least there you have kind of a more intuitive approach and a different, let's say, information channel, how you can, start to get a feel for the whole thing. Or at the very least, what I basically did there, I just had a 30-minute presentation, and I just basically mentioned that, look, guys, there are all these books by people who claim to have had contact, not only in terms of physicalized contact or strange experiences, but there are these people who even say they have agreements, like Daryl Anka channeling Bashar. Let's say pretty high level agreements where they're actually already, or where Earth is right in the process of being reintegrated into the galactic community. And just as you say, whom to trust, what to trust is a big question. But at the very least, to be aware that this information exists. And if you look at it, especially channeled information, then you realize while some of it has these alien backstories and so on, which are all well and good, and most probably even potentially, they are really focusing on the consciousness aspect and basically how can you steer your own life? How can you understand yourself enough that you can have a relaxed and fun life, and experience anything you desire in a positive way without having to hurt yourself or anybody else in the process? And that's, I think, is the most relevant idea. And that to me then in turn also kind of gives the credibility to any background or detail information if the basic concepts check out in this way or really are self-empowering in this way, because that also implies that whatever information may be coming through a channel in terms of specifics, if you understand the basics, then you understand it's just another offer that you make to yourself in terms of what would you prefer to believe, what is most resonant with you. Because within this theory or within this idea of consciousness and reality creation, it simply goes that whatever you believe the most actually is what manifests in your reality. So then combining these two aspects, the awareness of the structure and then the choice.
That kind of lends itself back to what we were talking about a little earlier with authority, in the sense of it's so different. I mean, obviously, this is coming from my position, and I tend to be more convoluted than you on a lot of these things. It seems very difficult and yet easy. It is what it is. It's the process of becoming. But it seems like a very tenuous project to know how to operate in reality and which programs to be kind of uploading versus what not take. I haven't really been paying attention to the news. There's a hurricane hitting kind of the coast where I'm at, but it's not really affecting me. But generally speaking, I'm not paying attention to the news just because I'm at a point where I feel like a lot of those stories and a lot of those paradigms aren't serving the highest good ultimately, and I don't know how long they're going to be in play. That doesn't mean go sell all your, belongings and live underneath a highway, overhang or something. But how do you, given the climate of so much stuff, because what you were just saying resonated to the degree where it's like what you, I don't know exactly what you said, you might want to repeat it, you may or may not remember, but it's something to the effect of like where you're putting your attention, like stuff's growing essentially, and like what you want to have happen will happen. Given so much open source kind of nature and play with a lot of programs and algorithms going on, how do you tend to stay optimistic and not overwhelmed in a sea of potentials and options?
Yeah, I think that's actually a very great point, and this always brings me back to the most simple tool anyone can use at any time, which is simply the formula or the idea of positive definition, positive effect. Because the idea then being that it's not, even if you would see yourself, as a, divine creator, as an aspect of the one creator, or even just as a co-creator, or just to have, whatever extent of authority over the creation of your own reality, which, as I contend, of course, actually is absolute. If you see that at all, then you know it's all a choice. And then you also know it's not about so much what's manifesting, but it's about how you respond to what is manifesting or what you are perceiving. And if you are able to respond in a positive way or simply observe it neutrally, and whatever aspect may be that you personally may glean from it that can be positive for you, or you, where you may reconstruct yourself to be more positive in your self-love, in your self-view, and also, of course, in your view of whatever may be happening in the apparent world. Any step that you take on that path is, in that sense, let's say, increasing your frequency in a positive way, and therefore also, quote unquote, improving the manifestation of the earth that you experience, or more accurately choosing the parallel earth reality that is resonant with what you prefer.
So, I mean, it seems like you're of the impression, and I could be wrong, correct me if I am, that you think a lot of timelines are kind of converging. We've touched on this a little before, post 2012, kind of post McKenna stuff. How do you see things going in the near future in terms of just people knowing their options and telling themselves stories they want to hear, or getting a part of a narrative that makes more sense for what they want to be a part of, as opposed to. It feels like, I mean, I don't know. I was watching this morning, my friend turned on Friends for a minute just to kind of, I guess, put on the TV. And it was just not depressing in a bad way, but it was like weird. I kind of felt like Neo at the beginning of The Matrix, where it was like, this is a world that you're a part of, but not really. And I don't, I mean, it's not like I'm poo-pooing money or commerce or, things or all this stuff, but it seems like we're, and I don't want to overhype it. That's why I want to get a good peripheral kind of position from you. A lot of the times I'm like, oh my gosh, we're in the birth pangs of the apocalypse, and that's how it feels. And then sometimes I look around and sit, like, have a McKenna kind of moment where, like, no one's in charge of the ship. Holy cow. Like, there's just a lot of factions kind of playing out different control dramas in their various evolutionary ways. Are there stories that you prefer to listen to now, or stories that you feel have been overplayed, in terms of maybe nationalism or whatever you might that might come to mind?
Well, for me, in terms of like, well, what information I actually am, let's say, basing my own view of whatever on is, mostly one may say channel information, but basically it's just whatever then is really resonant with my own intuition and my own feeling about myself, let's say. But this is the, this is then the foundation or the core of whatever else. And aside from that, there's so many different stories. Also, I, do watch some series or whatever. Which maybe then there's just a difference is that even here it's, in a sense just entertainment, and also it's even in a sense, in a way it's almost also like a review for me, because I see these things and even I'm always wondering about all these different, series, whether it's about, lawyers or drugs usually, or I don't know what else, doctors. Okay, I can't watch those, but whatever. And then I'm always like, wow, if anyone would see this and I don't know, consider this to be reality in any degree, it's really not good advertisement. So it's kind of like the one may say now, quote unquote, the old paradigm makes its shows to a good extent, or it has a large influence over pop culture. But even there, all I personally see is individuals that psychologically are not in a very good place oftentimes, if you can relate to what I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, in a lot of ways, it seems, for better or worse, a lot of the control groups or programmers or however you want to put that right now, well, it's problematic. It's tricky. It's both ends. So, like, culture is this thing we look at to kind of guide our lives. It's symbolic. It's linguistic. All these things. It gives us meaning and story, independently of the fact that if there is an objective story going on or not. Like, we've kind of, like with Nietzsche and shit, we kind of killed the idea of God, and in the gap, we've tried to replace it with commodification and systems and stuff. And not to say that God is actually dead or that systems have taken over, but it feels like this weird transitory phase where it's like the biological function of humans is even, I don't know, maybe it's just me, but like I feel like there was more of a tenacious kind of go get 'em attitude for the 20th century where people felt like maybe more part of, and probably incorrectly so, but more part of movements, whether it was like nationalism or technology or whatever, and just being like, yeah, we're on the cutting edge. And not to say that that's not happening now. I mean, if I pay attention properly, I'm amazed all the time by what's happening in terms of progress. But at the same time, it seems like the threads of reality are starting to get to the tips of what's potentially fathomable for a lot of people witnessing it. So I don't know how much more complicated and convoluted isn't really the best way to put it, but it's like if we look at our reality now, I'm imagining even compared to like 9/11 era times 2001 era, like it's so much more complicated right now, and it's going to continue to do so. And I just didn't know if you found that it's just a lot of static in a lot of departments getting higher and higher and louder and louder, and there's going to be a crescendo and a breaking point and kind of differentiations and factions kind of thing, or if you think that at some point we'll all kind of laugh and on with it. It's hard to talk about these things in a lot of ways just because it's so meta, and we're in the experiment itself. We're in the soup prepared, as Carl Jung would say. So it's not like there's even an objective position to even talk about these things on entirely.
Right. So what I would say is that to me, the idea, of course, is that, you know, we are shifting through infinite parallel realities all the time. And now it's just, I would say, because in general, we have chosen to kind of increase our awareness that that's what we're doing, or that's what's possible, that, you know, basically we are beings of choice. So what I would say now is that it almost seems to me like the different realities are just getting more and more extreme in a sense. That's kind of my impression. So as much as one may say, oh, the apparent, I don't know, destruction or apocalypse and so on grows, which apocalypse in itself is just, you know, the coming off of the masks. So that could be great. And that even in itself, it has obviously to do with revelation and with self-knowledge, because you remove a mask while you see more clearly what's below. So that's that type of a progress. So I would say, yeah, it's just kind of getting more extreme, more differentiated in that sense. So maybe it's even more important now than before to really be aware of, again, not just what you focus on, but also how you see that. So for example, I could say whatever new media is coming out, and I could say, oh my God, that's so much brainwash, it's so bad or whatever. Or I could say, oh, look, that's just, you know, the old paradigm playing itself out. And yeah, so I would say it really depends on the perspective one has individually.
Yeah, and I totally respect that. And it's funny because it seems like I have an unpositioned position, if that makes sense. So some days I'm like, holy, could, like, I try to be more positive. I know you tend to have more, I think being a Libra with a North Node Pisces will behoove you to this more, but like more of an optimistic kind of stance on it. And not that I'm pessimistic right now, but every now and then when the momentum of idealism kind of slows down a little, I look around and I'm just like, all right, I am telling myself these certain mantras or these certain paradigms to better operate within reality. But what does that mean? And like how much ultimate control over these things versus how much inherited language, symbol sets, and all these things do I actually have? Like in some weird way, do Northern Europeans, are they beholden to more Norwegian and Scandinavian kind of folklore and algorithms? Are they going to break that? Are Indians more behooven to like Hinduism and stuff? Just little things, because we're coming to a place, it seems, with information in a weird way. Like there was a burgeoning kind of information technology scene in the 90s and 2000s, which made us all aware of our connectivity and just the potentials in a material kind of real market, if you want to put it that way. But also it seems like we're kind of hitting this plateau of like, well, I guess Western American cultures, or, you know, like Western culture is kind of the standard and a lot of people are emulating it, but then what? Like, it's not like Greece just, I mean, Greece came up and did its own thing and other things copied it, but like, I don't know, I'm just kind of rambling, but it seems like we're in a moment, and I know the astrology kind of generally speaking is about to get serious for the next year or so with Scorpio and Capricorn and Saturn kind of transits going on, but it seems like we're about I think in a weird sense, kind of like at a collective midlife crisis where it's just like, is this what we want? Because this is what we've been choosing.
Right, exactly. So it's basically about becoming aware that, let's say, our choice matters, both individually and also in the reflection collectively. And what I would do at this point, if you agree, I would just, in whatever way I may, briefly share the tarot reading I did with some friends after coming back from the gathering this weekend, because I think it fits perfectly.
Yeah, lay it on us.
So it's just five cards. This is from Lissa Royal's Galactic Heritage card stack. So these are like kind of alien, universal cards. And it's just five cards. It's simple enough. So it's from left to right. I arranged it kind of in a pyramid. So the third card would be on top. And then, yeah, it's kind of like pyramidal in a way, or like an arc, let's say. And the first two cards are earth cards. One is called belief systems. That's a present card. This card is precisely about what we were speaking of. So this awareness that it kind of shows a human and just a small dot and a circle within that human. So this just kind of focuses on the idea that whatever we believe the most, again, manifests. And that is, in a sense, good because it allows us even to have an experience without any belief, without any limitation, without any separation. We couldn't have experience. But then, of course, it's very much about where do you put that lens and do you wish to expand it, in what way you wish to expand it, or even, transmute it into a new dimension or density. Then the second card is also an earth card. So belief systems has a number 53. There's 108 cards in the stack. The second card, graduation, has a number 76. That's also an earth card. In this case, within the timeline setting, it says future. The graduation, of course, is about this idea of us basically graduating from third density. So precisely also what you're speaking of, kind of graduating from this also materialist viewpoint and really understanding that we are actually timeless beings and starting to integrate that into our physical existence. So time and space become much more malleable and we will have, a completely different society. That's this graduation part. Then in the middle on top, we have number 10, energy transmission. Straight from Arcturus. In the timeline, it says parallel. So this was just for me be the idea. Arcturus is a strong symbol for the higher self and just, really strong, let's say, love, self-awareness, energy. So straight down from there, that's in the middle. And then on the right side, we have number 29 called Hive Mind. That is the only insectoid card in the deck, also parallel. So of course, the idea, of the hive mind, the idea of the interconnection between different individuals and also the synchronicity that can then emerge. And also, of course, we understand many type of, let's say, plants and also animals have this hive mind aspect, and humans actually have it as well. And either it can be, in a negative sense, kind of in terms of how would you call it, like, peer pressure and so on. But in the positive sense, it's actually could even be used, to reinforce everyone's individuality and individual choice and just synchronistically arrange everything around that, also through the hive mind or through the, let's say, collective wisdom, collective intelligence, also has positive connotations, of course. And then the very last card, which may be particularly interesting because this gathering has been about, or is about actually still happening right now. The reintegration of indigenous wisdom and also indigenous plant medicine, such as yahe or ayahuasca, and whatever information this may bring us. So the last card is a card from Sirius, which is the dog star, also representation of our higher selves. This would be a future card with the number 93, one of my favorites. It's called Assistance Without Interference. So the idea of being able to help yourself, or especially also help other selves, as one may say, in their process, but without actually interfering in the process, but only, let's say, providing, that degree of assistance that is actually really the most helpful for each and everyone's development. Yeah, so that was the reading from that week, collected by the five of us, each drawing a card, or the four of us, and the first card, the energy transmission card, just, popped out right at the start. This is how it goes with tarot, right?
Nice. I know that deck is really cool. I've seen images of it, so it's definitely got a different kind of flavor than like traditional Rider-Waite Tarot stuff. But That is a good reading in the in that it's kind of you're hitting exactly what I'm kind of talking about, where it's like, look, we're becoming sovereign, and then what does it mean to be collectivist members at some level while being sovereign? It's like, it seems like that's the transition where we're kicking in. It's like we have hive mind potentials, which are both good and bad. I mean, even culture itself is hive minding to a point, it seems. In a weird way, it seems like we're almost able to objectify the abstractions that our minds are making. Whereas maybe like ants and stuff are like, oh no, this is just the culture, and maybe they're not pontificating about it necessarily as much. But interesting read.
Yeah, I could just to make it very simple, the difference or how it could be understood is also how, for example, Bashar or also Ra of Law of One explains it, is again the densities, which could be correlated to the chakras. So again, first density, first chakra, existence itself, crystalline intelligence, second chakra, growth, plant and animal intelligence. And here, still very much, let's say, connected, quote unquote, to the earth or to the realm, quote unquote, or the source below, let's say, in terms of the hive mind idea. So, having this more collectivized consciousness in many different ways and quite a different experience than we have. And then only in the third density. And this is where I guess probably many apes would be stepping into. And certainly humans are right in the middle of it, or have been for a long time, which is then, let's say, the density where you actually individualize yourself. So I almost imagine like, you know, a big ocean or something, and then one drop is slowly like emerging from that ocean and like making a journey on its own. And then for some period of time can even fall into the illusion of actually not being connected to that ocean at all, or not being water itself, let's say. And that is just a phase we've been in now for some time. But then the fourth density or fourth chakra, the heart, which would then also be this graduation aspect, then again is in the alchemical process, the conjunction. So here again, things are coming together again. So you actually are able to kind of pretend you're alone and an individual, make your own experiences and learn about yourself. And then again, re-immerse yourself in the knowledge and awareness that you're connected to everything, but now you have kind of crafted a new personality construct through your life as a human, even within the illusion of separation. That makes sense.
Yeah, very well said. I think a lot of this has to do with what I mean. It depends on presuppositions, yugas, and all this kind of stuff. Like you said, we're coming into a new kind of way of being. It seems like it does. It's weird because it's like waking up from a dream or coming, you know, coming to in a very particular way when you start realizing how kind of. Well, I was talking with my friend about it. Like the other day, we saw something about, I don't even know, slavery or something like that, or, you know, basically white black kind of issues in America back in the day. And I was musing on the fact it's like, I can't imagine the circumstances. And now I'm not saying they don't exist. I'm wondering how nice I would be and how, you know, loving kind and all this kind of stuff I would be if given starvation or crazy circumstances. But largely speaking, I can't imagine looking at another human being and thinking they're not human. Whereas that was the magical spell at some point with a lot of people for, you know, in recent years more so. So I'm wondering just even with the which is crazy to me, it's like it goes to show you that we might not even be operating with all of our files open, and sometimes just because of the place in a yuga or in evolution or something, like certain maybe parts of the self or parts of awareness aren't online in the same way. What do you think has been turning on lately that would evidence movement in a direction you're happy about?
Right. So ultimately, and everyone can, you know, check this for themselves, it's just about, you know, becoming aware of your own consciousness and your own progression, because that's the ultimate arbitration or determination of wherever you are, is wherever you feel yourself to be. That's the real answer. And for me personally, I would say certainly the, let's say, awareness of synchronicity. And also after, let's say, my most individual, whatever awakening, enlightenment experiences, after which I had at least more conscious understanding of the structure, which of course accelerates everything a lot. And then you kind of, you know, play along. And, but even here, I would certainly say that just this awareness between many people and actually the lived awareness as well, that everything is synchronicity, Ed, and you do not need to plan everything out, that anyhow you cannot really control anything, accept again how you respond to what's happening. So I would say that even though many, of course, struggle with this because, you know, I guess humans have, you know, also inherited a lot of control freakism for many different reasons, me included. But I would say that this lived understanding grows and also the conscious understanding of this structure grows, which of course then allows oneself to ease the ego mind more into this flow state when you can give it the logical explanation. And I would say, yeah, again, the awareness of this is growing and also the practice of it is growing, however challenging it may still be. But that's at least what I could observe within my immediate environment. And at the same time, you know, also, of course, again, the other extreme, in a sense, you know, people just burning out or people just whatever, having to quit whatever they've been doing because they finally reach a point where they feel themselves enough and are worth enough to themselves that they say, okay, well, not anymore. That's not a way that's aligned with myself, which is equally very positive because in order to get where you're going, where you want to be, you have to walk away from where you are, you know?
Yeah, it's a lot of synthesis and then not like, you know, individuating as a monad in the stream. Like it's kind of going between both. And it seems like what we've done more recently as a species, maybe some mystics are ahead of the bell curve on this, but more or less we've been, I forget if it was a meme or what I saw, but basically somebody was like, it might have been a meme, but the idea was like somebody walks up to somebody else and's like, do you know what's going on? And the other person's like, no, do you? And that's kind of where we're at these days, where we all understand that nobody has a full picture of what's going on. And yet we need to inform each other through information and stories and identities and stuff in order to just keep the thing going. What's been coming up a lot in psychedelics lately is just like how much of the, and it is what it is, because it's just, this is how culture has been maintained somewhat, but it's like we get ourselves embroiled in certain dramas mentally that create meaning, and it doesn't mean that they're not true ultimately, but at some level these are arbitrary to a point. And we get all embroiled in these stories, and the stories cause us to go different places in evolution. Like I'm gonna guess that if we hadn't decided that resources were scarce and, you know, being king of the mountain or whatever colonial imperialism has been for the past few hundred years, we might have had a very different situation, but given the dynamics at hand and what we're going through in terms of becoming, it seems like it had to go down the way it did, hence it did. I'm rambling. Point is, I'm trying, like, I every now and then I think I get dilated to a point of overhope where I'm like, my gosh, this is all, like, more your angle on things where it's like solipsistic kind of dream, everything's programmable, it's all good, just witness mode. And then sometimes I kick out of that and it feels kind of like the end of an acid trip or something where it's like, yeah, you've witnessed all these kinds of colors and shapes and ideas and stuff, but now what? Like it's, then it turns into like almost the engineering of life and what that means in terms of creating gravity of momentum with choices and all this kind of, like creating a life, which is interesting. I don't know how much we do it in the West. Like the way we have done it has been under certain presuppositions. Maybe we should be reassessing them now. I'm just rambling.
I would say the one simple perspective would be, you know, to integrate whatever you experience through whatever state or whatever nice, you know, event one may attend or whatever other, you know, meditative or other induced experiences, and just ask yourself, how can you bring it into your own life? And just to give a very, you know, most simple example, which I would say many people have done, is, well, you experience nice colors and you really like colors. Well, you dress more colorful, you make your room more colorful, you know? And in the same way, I would say with any and all of these things or revelations and realizations, they are very simple and maybe not always, but often enough, also even obvious ways, if you allow yourself to really look at yourself, how you can integrate that into your daily life and just make new choices. And if you also bring back this awareness that, or at least the experience that until now, somehow, let's say you survived, somehow you all, you know, it all worked out in whatever way it did. So if it did in that way, and now you make a more self-loving choice and do what you prefer, why shouldn't it work out, you know?
Yeah, there's a lot of wisdom to that. I think there's some cognitive dissonance in our Western culture right now, somewhat between knowing that we're kind of destroying ourselves for the sake of convenience and stuff like that, and then also wanting to know what the truer, deeper narrative is for us to participate in, because we've been told for a long time as a more Western culture that, well, we're just part, you know, part of a swarm of forces that we don't really have much control over, and just enjoy, I mean, very materialistic, reductionistically enjoy the ride. Just kind of like, yeah, it is what it is. You're part of a fucking sea of atoms and deal with it. It's good to, I think, be stepping back from that precipice entirely, but I want to know kind of what we're trying, what narratives we're giving ourselves in light of the fact that science seems observable and like reliable, but we don't want to become scientists, like be so hard in the paint there that a scientism, and it's like, oh, nothing outside of this lens will work. So it's not hard in a bad way, but it's an interesting time to be alive where both reason is in a very serious time. I mean, people want to use their minds reasonably through the internet and all sorts of stuff. At the same time, there's so many narratives, so many sub stories and plots going on that it's harder to understand what's going on. Do you get, I guess, a breath of fresh air when I hear you talking about it? Because ultimately, we're embarked on this thing as a person. We get to choose and kind of open source strategize what we want to be a part of.
Right. There's a few perspectives I would provide on this. However, I would also say, let's play some music, you know, to bring in a different frequency as well. And then we shall be coming right back, if you would agree.
I agree.
Thank you.
And we are back live. This was actually a track called Mushrooms by an artist called Truth, interestingly enough. Jim, how did you like it?
I dug it. It made me think, it's very good, a good example of a piece of music doing a good job of trying to create an atmosphere that's kind of ineffable, like psilocybin, I'm presuming, atmospheres. How do you make those sounds? What does that space feel and sound like? And they did a pretty good job.
Yeah, well, I just love this type of dubstep and bass music. And just as you've been talking about different perspectives on reality and this whole scientism idea, or even this whole question, what we're talking about, where is authority coming from? I had already suggested this idea, you know, reconnecting with your body, because it's obviously, you know, quite vital to you and a quite good information source. But then even in general, through whatever way, you know, meditation and so on and so forth, just find different, maybe just different perspectives on reality, even if you just take a look at them, or maybe even, for example, dive into, you know, materialist scientism and just really look at its ultimate conclusions, if you can, you know, really like kind of trying to think it through, or also just look at individuals employing whatever philosophy, and maybe even get closer to them, get a good look at them and see whether they actually are, you know, sustainably, quote unquote, happy or experiencing what they actually want or what they espouse that their theory should be creating, you know. So I guess in a sense, we actually have quite a lot of information from that point of view. Just reminds me of the simple idea of diets. When I was researching about different diets and trying out everything from, you know, eating everything to vegetarian, vegan, raw vegan, fruitarian for just 2 days or whatever. And, you know, that gives you a feeling in terms of your own experiment when you just apply it. And also just look at the people doing it for maybe even a longer time. And you listen to them, you look at them, and I would say you can get quite good data and then just determine if that's, you know, something that you may, you know, learn more about, or whether that's a path that at least to some extent can also benefit you, if you can relate this whole thing to what we've been discussing before.
Yeah, and in that sense, it seems that, like, much in the same way there might be a joy and a hope in diets where it's like, oh, if I do this, this will, like, good things will happen. I think people have to kind of go through their own worldview assembling, if you want to put it that way, kind of this, with the same kind of pursuit where it's like, it's a tricky thing to hear. Okay, so in terms of the diet model that you're talking about, it's like someone's like, oh, we're Paleolithic and we shouldn't be eating this, that, and the other. So, like, hearsay based off of, quote, expertise opinion. Or, oh, I do this and it feels great. So based off of more, you know, opinions, but like experientially based opinions. And it's funny because at some point you have to decide whether these are the things for you, whether they're in agreement or not with what you were expecting or what they were purported to be in the first place. I could see.
Just briefly about the wording. And I mean, especially if you are, as I am, into this whole, you know, extraterrestrial consciousness idea, is a society that would be from or around the idea of Vega, you know, in our stars. And Vega would be, again, the more, you know, inward meditative monk type ideas after the first Lyran humanoid expansion into this reality, let's say, which were more like getting into the 3D and conquest and so on, or exploration in the material world. The vegans then more inwardly looking. So here then I would just, you know, ask the very simple question to each and every one. Do you feel yourself to be more Paleolithic? Then that may be your diet, which is good for you. Or do you feel yourself to be more vegan? If you can catch my drift.
Right. And that kind of goes to some conversations we were having before, where it's like, what's influencing what? Like, are these, and I know your position is somewhat is like, it's all one thing and then it's diversified and we're experiencing the diversity somewhat. That's a very bad breakdown probably. But, is one's diet even going to be afforded a certain kind of flavor because of the influences, i.e. vegan or Lyran or whatever? It's just fascinating to see how really truly open source we are, but how much we've gotten into the rhythm of being programmed in so many ways that we forget the magic of our self-programming.
Precisely. And then it's really just the main thing everyone can detect is just, you know, first, number one, and this is automatic as well, detect all programs that may actually limit the flexibility of your own programming. And if you just do that, you know, you're already on a pretty good path if you catch my drift.
Yeah, you end up, it's almost like anarchistic programming at that point, because you're going to do what's necessary for your system, hopefully not at the detriment of other systems. It sounds so obvious, but I guess having lacked mentors and stuff in my own life for a long time, these kinds of obvious truths that one gets to through time and experience, are really interesting just to kind of munch on.
And this would actually bring in the maybe another aspect we could be talking about, also in reference to the indigenous gathering happening now, and this whole question, you know, of the Hierophant, and as you say, of mentors. And at least in my impression, I mean, I've also read about this, but it's also my personal experience, and not just mine, that maybe especially in westernized cultures or the cultures I visited in, there is an obvious and incredible lack of mentors or of, you know, trustworthy guides that really do everything, let's say, in a sense, selflessly or for the benefit of the whole, and have no ulterior motive, no idea of whatever type of building up or exertion of control and so on. At the same time, many of those also exist, but it seems like it comes with the territory or it comes with this incarnation and a society that much of those that still may be floating around potentially actually do not really have your own best interests at heart, or maybe in the proper position where they're in, but not so much in order to, let's say, positively guide you, but maybe more to disillusion you in terms of that maybe they do not deliver, or maybe they, you know, are not even applying their own philosophy potentially, you know. And this again then brings me back to this whole chakra idea and this whole development of oneself, because eventually different spiritual teachers talk about this, and I would say anyone listening can confirm this with their own experience. It's just that at some point you develop discernment, which would be like a third eye quality in a sense, and then you become better and better at clearly reading individuals and finding out whether you resonate with the message, but also kind of finding out whether you resonate with the individual.
Totally. It seems this is just a byproduct of being a consumer materialist culture, but we have a lot of options to shop from. And some options are better to scrutinize over than others. It's funny because it seems like there's a natural proclivity, at least in a lot of circles, to kind of be contrarian, where it's like, oh, if you were a conservative Christian, now you're a woke, now you're not going to be any of these things, and kind of jumping to the other side of the coin, if you want to put it that way. But I'm wondering how much more, there doesn't seem like there can be that much more reacting to each other's stories that we can do. It seems like we're getting to the point, and maybe this is happening in terms of a grand zeitgeist, I'm not sure, but it's like we've mentioned it before. It's like the narratives we're giving ourselves, some of them are getting more stale, and I don't, it's like the definition of insanity to kind of keep doing the same thing over and expecting different results, right? So it's like I think we're hitting a cognitive dissonance pocket in larger circles, but at the same time, like in society, but at the same time, it seems like we're more and more easily divided and conquered just based off of our consumption models. Like, oh, I'm watching Netflix and I'm listening to Spotify and all this, that, and the other. I'm rambling, but it's just such an interesting time, because I'd like to think that a lot of the technological kind of pyramidical structure of stuff isn't nefarious by definition. Like, I'm not so conspiratorial that I'm like, oh my gosh. I mean, I get there's like Luciferian kind of stuff going on, but if I start dwelling on that too much, I start freaking out. Whereas if I say there's no rhyme or reason and there aren't power like structures kind of dictating where things go, I feel like I'm playing a little more of a naive card. So, all that being said, what are some of the, I mean, you're, it seems like you follow love and excitement and joy mostly for what you find to be the most helpful in terms of models. Does that sound about right?
Well, yeah, and then also, just as I mentioned before, and this is maybe a good example about the different diets, because really here you can actually look at individuals. And the one I love so much is like this 80-year-old grandma or something that was like on CBC or something many years ago. If you just look on YouTube, like vegan grandma, 80 years or something like this, and she has her own garden and so on, and she looks stunning. Her skin is perfect. She's obviously super happy, you know. And you have her husband, he's also happy, you know, to be her husband, but you know, I'm not sure if he's on medication, but he doesn't look as healthy. And he kind of didn't really make the switch with her. And yeah, so, you know, you can choose, and you even have reference points of where this can lead you. Yeah.
Yeah, like you're saying, there's a lot of options, but still the proof is in the pudding, as they say. So look around, choose your own ground, as Pink Floyd might say. But there's better stories and worse stories, and one has to really kind of, from a very kind of grounded and authentically real place, ask if the stories we're part of are what we want to be engaging with or not. I tend to flit into very weird, not dramas, but it's like, I think my proclivity towards paranoia is more than others. So that's why I don't try to think about, like, you know, Illuminati and all this stuff, whether or not it's real or not. It's besides the point. So what think, given all these events you've been doing lately, what do you think the kind of culture and subculture, where do you see the steam in that going? Like, hippiedom and all this kind of stuff was a kind of a new commodity back in the 60s, and it became a subgenre, hippies. Do you see this kind of being a similar 2.0, where people are like woke in that style? Or do you think this is a new kind of, hopefully not just a trend, but maybe like a shifting back towards more naturalistic kind of archaic ways?
Well, ideally, what it can be, what it may be, is, I would say, again, just as with the densities, we had this individualization. We had our interesting experiments with, you know, whatever, separation, scarcity, and so on. Now we again may enter into the fourth density understanding with the conjunction. And then this also means, again, you know, the conjunction of the East and the West, the synchronization of our brain hemispheres, the harmonization of our brain, hearts, and guts, and so on, the proper communication between ourselves as a human personality and our higher selves as our own greater aspect or guardian angel or all that is or God. And also the reintegration of indigenous practices, understanding and wisdom with whatever Western achievements, philosophy, technology, potentially even, we have developed.
Word. Yeah, as they say, it's the best of times and the worst of times. There's a lot of good things to be alive for right now, and interesting kind of novel moments that I don't know how many monkeys would have ever dreamed of. But at the same time, our ability to destroy ourselves and the environment's greater than ever and all this kind of jazz. So it's like, wow, what an interesting time to be walking around.
Right. So in terms of information sources, just let's say if you, and I know you do, just for the listeners, like if you would play along for a moment, the idea of much of channeled material, and for me, of course, especially if it's, you know, positive and self-empowering and so on, is basically that this is information coming from our own higher selves, or put in different terms, our own future selves. So much of the channeled information that is coming through would actually be ourselves from the future talking to us. And because now we're at a threshold point, or at we're open enough to be receiving these communications, we do not even necessarily need to choose from stories that are already existing or that we can reflect upon in the apparent outside. And of course, we still need to develop our own perspectives and definitions of everything. But here we at least have the suggestion of actually positive future realities where, let's say, love and light is, you know, obvious in a sense. And I just think that's a pretty interesting offer, let's say.
Yeah, I think it's a part of the meal that's been kind of overlooked for a long time. I don't even know why it was practicalities or what, but for a long time people were like, oh, the world's a hard place and it is what it is, and just deal and kind of like, you know, acquire wealth and status well if you can, kind of vibes. And now it seems more like we're kicking into a place of probably looking around saying, although things are nice and money is cool and stuff is fine, as apes, we love these things. They're not ultimately things in of themselves, and we need to kind of be taking care of ourselves first and foremost, but ultimately as collective members of a group thing, reality, we need to be kind of like rising up out of the monkey situation into the fourth density, like you're saying. It seems like that's a very appropriate kind of assessment as to where we are as 2012. It seems like we're just in this kind of graduatory kind of phase into a new thing, but it's not immediate, it's not overnight, it's not necessarily all systems at once kind of thing.
Exactly, and that's also kind of been, because also as you know, I do conscious channeling, and I've been channeling at that gathering as well, and we also kind of had this question come up about, you know, how this process would happen, if it's just like, you know, one moment and you shift into a completely new reality. Well, of course it is, because every reality is completely new. We just, through our minds and our linearized consciousness, create logic and reasoning and to string these ideas together and believe it's a whole movie, when in fact it's just infinite different pictures arranged in whatever way we want to arrange them. But then, you know, create these kind of like boundaries around it, or logical systems as to what has to follow what, so cause and effect, and all of these ideas. And then, you know, can you completely break out of that or completely switch into a completely new world? Of course you can. And I would say that's also what we're doing. And it's also obvious, as you mentioned, that we're creating a process where we're actually observing this. So it is, I would say, even obviously right now, at least, not one moment in terms of human experience where everything changes and everyone is enlightened and happy and joyous and we don't need money anymore and everyone's gifting everything. But it's obvious that there is a process which we're experiencing. However, it's also quite very likely, and again, obvious, that all of us here actually want to experience that process. Because if you would see it very neutrally, as I always like to do, from a system engineering perspective, or let's say civilization seeding perspective, or cosmic, genetic, you know, alchemy operation perspective, then this part which we're experiencing right now, these years we are privileged to live in right now, we chose to live in, are very, very special. And yeah, just if you would play a game and simulate it, what would be a more interesting time than a time like this?
Right. And even doing like simple mental math equations, like if you're just going 12 plus 3 is 15 in your mind, and there's 12 and then there's 3, and then you're doing stuff causing the addition, and that is a process in the mind, and it comes up with 15, you get a new sum. I think we're kind of in that mode where it's like, well, we know what it was and we know what it could be, but we're not yet, like, we're in the synthesizing mode of like kind of creating the groups, the hardware, the software, even like you're saying with these kind of gatherings of whether it's channeling and ufologists in Germany, or more ancient kind of practices. We're starting to kind of, it seems, go over all the notes that various cultures have done and try to make more sense of it. And I'm hoping we're doing it from a good place, because it doesn't seem like early 20th century, like, nationalistic vibes. I'm also coming from a place of a lot of privilege and stuff, so I'm not sure how the whole world feels right now. But generally speaking, I think Western countries are trying to using their brains and hearts simultaneously more. And that would be nice.
Yeah, I completely agree. However, it is also obvious that this is up to each and every one of us, whether each and every one of us individually makes that choice to operate more and more in that sense. And this may also include saying no to many things we previously have been engaging in, and just becoming more aware that we have, you know, maybe more positive choices and more self-loving choices. Because then again, even systemically, ultimately, one population or one entity of a so-called state or whatever still only is composed of individual humans, individual minds, and ultimately they decide where it's going, especially once they realize that they have the capacity to decide that for themselves individually. And once they understand that, then it's also a conscious collective steering of wherever we wish to go together, and then certainly more positive, because each and every one will be more aware of themselves and more aware of the different options we have, and not any more bound in this scarcity protection type mindset. Because as I understand, even the modern state, the prime, or at least that's what history says, the prime reasoning for it is to ensure the security of its population. However, I'm kind of wondering, where is the threat actually?
Right. There's like, it seems like a few shell games have been kind of played out, like capitalism versus communism and these things over the past few hundred years, or 100 years maybe even. But the point is that those dramas, like picking a side on those things, although it seems like is an option, is becoming less palatable like a lot of people, like there's got to be more than just A and B. Like there's got to be a plurality of options here. And I think if using digital spaces properly, like what we're kind of trying to do here with conversations, and physically meeting up with people of like minds and similar energies, will cause us to not only feel less alone, because I think sometimes what it can feel like is just this Mr. Anderson versus the corporation kind of world situation, where it's like, oh, one doesn't have to feel alone, even if one is existentially experiencing things individualistically at some level. There is a unification to all this. So I think what I'm getting at ultimately, though, with rambling here, is it's a tricky time, but I think the resources are more available than not. Like 10-20 years ago, I think it would have been even weirder. It would have been a different zeitgeist, but weirder to wake up. I think people nowadays have the option, and it's like, well, how much of what systems do you want to be a part of, and in what way do you think these benefit the collective which you're a part of ultimately? Like, are these moving towards love and unity, and or division and kind of self? And I don't know, like I do think that the next kind of 5-10 years is going to be really fundamental shifts in kind of patriarchal thinking and institutions and religion and politics and all this stuff. It should be an interesting kind of ride to watch, and hopefully we're doing our part of the sidelines enough to create the alternative options that people don't jump off buildings or whatever.
Exactly. And I would also say that's mine, and I'm sure also your experience, that, you know, whatever it means, whatever this is, and in my view, it's not a trend or anything. You know, everyone is becoming aware of themselves at their own pace. However, if you choose on whatever level to become aware of yourself, you will naturally manifest or find yourselves be resonant with parallel Earths where other humans also become more aware of themselves. How that looks then exactly is completely up to you. You don't even need to go to any psytrance festival or whatever for that to happen in its own way. That's completely independent of any cultural artifacts or whatever. And maybe that's even more the reason that while there is, you know, maybe some trendiness in going to yoga and whatever, I'm always kind of saying, like, all of these things don't really help you. Like, if you don't really want to know and therefore start to understand yourself, no tool or no, you know, trend or whatever will actually, quote unquote, alleviate your suffering or whatever. So I would say then it's just, for me at least, just observing this natural process within myself and also within the reflection of the other selves around me. And certainly I would say everyone is growing. And it is really, as you say, maybe about, you know, extending your roots even more and then realizing there's so much resources, as you say, available. We are networked, even our roots are connected to each other. Also now, again, through this permission slip tool of the internet, as we are doing right now. So we actually have a lot of information available through the positive idea of the hive mind and lots of resources. And the Earth, you know, is providing for everything, actually, always, of course. So maybe that's also how we can have, let's say, the courage to really also grow, you know, towards, let's say, the sun, which then would be this idea, you know, of joy, love, unity, and compassion.
Exactly. I think the disempowering nature of the last few hundred years has been telling us stories that are probably real to a point, but maybe not ultimately true. So it's like, yes, there's mechanized kind of dystopian stories, and that's probably very indicative of how things happened around the Industrial Revolution and all this kind of stuff, but that doesn't mean it's ultimately real. These are choices we can kind of adapt within, or positions we can kind of work with. It'll be interesting to see, I think, given the legality, at least in America, there's a big trend towards cannabis legalization and maybe psilocybin, I'm not sure, but once those kinds of things start becoming more mainstream and an option, I can't imagine complacency and stagnation in terms of cultural movement towards better options would be even viable. I think it would be demanded by the market.
Yeah, to me, honestly, this whole thing is really, really interesting to observe that after, let's say, 50 years of prohibition or whatever, of many different substances, which are now called drugs, that at least in the US, it seems, you know, everyone is pushing for legalization of cannabis and then also other things. And aside, well, it's of course included, but even aside from the whole potential of it with its proper use in proper circumstance and proper awareness and proper self-knowledge, the capacity it has to increase one's awareness of oneself and one's understanding, even just the medical aspects and the efficiency aspects, if we speak of cannabis in terms of clothing, even, and so on. It almost seems to me like, I don't know, but it almost really seems to me like if they kind of do this and it becomes more mainstream, even just hemp, very basic plant, and it's really properly used, even just this plant by itself is so efficient that it will destroy any notion of scarcity. That's kind of my impression. Maybe I'm wrong, but what do you think?
No, I love that. I know that hemp particularly can be used for quite a bit of stuff besides just getting high, right? I mean, hemp can be made into concrete. I think are cinder blocks made of hemp that are fire retardant, so you so all of a sudden start having structures that are going to be flame resistant. And it grows much faster than paper. There's a lot of things. I think for a long time, a few of the middlemen of culture have been very, hopefully well-meaning, but at the very least moralistic kind of stodgy types who have decided which avenues are best or worst for the endeavor of culture to go down. And maybe now, given the internet and some time on the internet as a culture, I'd say 10, 20 years as a culture to kind of kick ideas around, it's not so much jerk reactions. Because things like hemp for a long time was like, well, it's illegal. I mean, it seemed like it was like a bird's nest of an issue where it's just like, well, these are better alternatives, but to even have them talked about in the right way, it's like a lot of red tape crossing. Well, now we're at a place where we're kind of on all the knots, or not all of them, but we're undoing some of the knots that we've inherited legally in terms of research and development, certain compounds and chemicals, not just for psychedelic use, but also like alternative resources. Like we should be, well, most houses, I mean, this sounds crazy, but it's like for a long time, yes, the markets and our awareness of certain things made it so that we chop down trees and make, neighborhoods out of wood, and it made sense and all that. But this, it doesn't make so much sense. So what we need to start doing, and they're not even difficult rights. It's just choosing the less, because what comes to mind really quickly is Wally. A lot of people tend to just make decisions and reinforce those decisions and behaviors based off of convenience. And if we can show that these alternatives aren't as far out as possible, like they're not, it's not like redesigning the wheel. It's things that potentially have been used for a long time. Like hemp was, pretty sure George Washington grew it, not for smoking purposes, but for like the industrial kind of aspects we're talking about. If we start kind of maybe making things a little less about bottom dollar economic value systems and also implementing kind of folk and inherited wisdom systems, because scientific Western thinking is beautiful and streamlines a lot of stuff, but doesn't mean it comes up with every solution perfectly. I guess we might be finding that these things will be a lot less fringe, maybe, and it won't just be the, pot smoking PETA member saying everything should be legalized. Maybe in the near future, it'll be much more of a broad kind of common sense thing.
Yes, well, I agree. And also, I would just ask the question because of your quite, as you yourself said, maybe naive view on that in terms of some forces that kind of steered society thought these may be the better avenues. I would say by now it's pretty well proven that much of the rightly called pharmacology, which as I understand is the science of death, is actually very detrimental. And many drugs now, oh well, pharmaceutical drugs sold legally are very detrimental, and in my estimation or in my understanding, potentially even more dangerous than some of the things you can buy on the street. So I would more say that, more properly put, maybe we have in many ways allowed ourselves to be deceived or to be scared and so on and so forth. Because even here, a lot, aside from the scandals of governments shipping drugs around, there's plenty of politicians using drugs and so on. So it's obviously a kind of a, it's a very strange situation. And just, maybe now through the connection of different individuals and, these different movements and awareness, it just becomes very, very apparently obvious. And even that eventually cannot be stopped or whatever by, any, let's say, phony government or politician type individuals, if you can understand.
Yes, and the nature of politics is changing, it seems, just with so much information on the internet and so highly personalized realities that we all have with our social media or whatever kind of input we have day to day, I think even just the nature of the marketplace of ideas is going to start changing. We're starting to find, for better or worse, I mean, I think the reason there are such big kind of like, I don't know about Europe, but at least, I mean, in America, there's still tensions between religious groups or racial groups or sex orientation groups. And I think that's just the last kind of moments of people trying to use collectivism against others through the people themselves. And slowly but surely, people are starting to wake up to how much they're being used and how much they can't just, you can't just join a monolithic voice on any front, whether it's pro-cannabis or anti-cannabis or whatever. Like, nothing is going to be nuanced enough to actually articulate how you feel. So it's kind of an interesting time just in terms of mass representation, because people are getting so diversified individually that it's harder and harder for them to see what they want to be represented by out in the marketplace of options.
Yes, precisely. And I would say, you know, just again, as always, it's a shift in consciousness. The one thing I'd like to mention here, because it also shows how easily this actually could be implemented in terms of practicalities. This is, interestingly enough, an Austrian developed system, and it's called the systemic consensus. Maybe you heard of things like sociocracy, or not sure about the wording now. However, systemic consensus is a tool on its own. And what you do is you do not try to outvote someone else or get a 50% majority over anybody. But what you do is you measure resistances. And even in terms of the whole consciousness concept, talking about resistance, I would say is good vocabulary. And so you just present different options. You talk them through. And then in a group, in this most simple way, you would have, you could say no resistance. So you leave your arms down. You have some resistance or some issues with it. You raise one hand. You don't like it at all. You raise both hands. And then just the points get counted. And then out of whatever question you have, whatever issue you wish to resolve, out of all the solutions that were presented and voted on, you then just talk again about, let's say, the top three or the top five, which have the least resistance. Because here you will basically know if you wish to go ahead with that and implement that, no one has a problem with it. No one is concerned about it. Everyone is okay with it. So that's certainly something you can do, even if at the same time, you know, you don't have the most fervent advocates for it or everyone's clapping and out of their minds that it happens, but no one is bothered by it. And that may in some ways even be more important, especially talking about things that affect a collective or affect your neighborhood or your environment.
Yeah, I'm wondering, I mean, it's part of our natural biology to go after things we're excited about, like, way. But I wonder how much of those kinds of impulse systems have been coerced against us to just get, like, get hype about whatever, and then we just get caught up in the emotionality of certain whatever, whether it's a religious performance or political party or whatever, music. You just have me thinking, it's like, I think we're probably a lot more led to the slaughter than I even realized, then at some point that it is what it is. So hopefully it all kind of shifts in such a way that love wins. But even just hearing you talk about kind of the nature of populism somewhat has, it doesn't dishearten me, but it just makes me, it kind of gives me pause and sit back. It's like, if we're not being on it, like in a particular way with our attention and our awareness, it's easy to just become a kind of, even though we are necessarily, a kind of cog in the machine of other people's decisions and other people's kind of choices. And that doesn't mean you have to go V for Vendetta all the time and just be this anarchist or whatever, but it seems like we have a, it's a kind of a catch-22. We're after Fight Club and music like that, we understand we're not our consumer choices, but at the same time, we're in such a consumer model right now that it's hard to see beyond that.
And I'm still wondering, maybe of the answer, why it's actually called Catch-22. I'm sure I read it up, but all that comes to mind for me, what is the catch? It's catching the fool, or what? To those who know tarot, 22-4 is the fool in the tarot deck.
That's a good point. I just say it kind of that colloquialism without really thinking much in terms of the etymological history or whatever. But that's a good example, even when I'm saying, like, I'm reinforcing kind of ideas and stereotypes with a certain phrase, like a meme of a linguistic model. But, like, I don't even understand the context, obviously, of where that came from. It's interesting times. I think in a lot of ways, we're at the apex maybe of what it means to be self-engineers for the first time as a large amount of species. I think certain people for a long time understand the magician card. They're like, look, you're hacking this, you can do this. But those have tended to be more hierophant, mentor, hierarchical, we have the secrets, you don't kind of vibes more. And I'm not sure how much longer this, it seems like the secret's out. It's like, whoa, we're God experiencing things for ourselves in programming. And that's a very watered down way of putting that. But I think the mechanisms, and it's hard to transcend fear because I fall guilty to, you know, just as much fear and paranoia as anybody. But at the same time, I think what you've done for your own worldview has maintained kind of at least an equilibrium of positivity, just with how you're spinning it. Now, that doesn't mean it's true or not, ultimately. I'm not sure. That's why I like talking to you. But it seems you're functioning better than a lot of people who might think they know what's going on, if that makes sense. Like your answers are at least giving you a good performance.
Well, again, this is to each and everyone, you know, to determine or quote unquote judge, discriminate, discern for themselves. However, what I would like to say, I would say now, again, without knowing the details, that in the catch-22 you mentioned may, you know, be a lot of unknowns, because we both don't know the backstory properly, but at the same time already contain the answer, which is, you know, catch-22, catch the fool. Because just as you mentioned, we may have had many, you know, magicians, hierophants, but maybe for whatever reasons, they also had been caught up still in some level of conditioning, because it is already the one, let's say, or starting, you know, counting down. But then what you catch, or what you have to get back to, is the fool, is the unconditioned state, is the unconditional love, on whatever level, through whatever permission slip one does that. Because from there, you're really free to take a neutral look at whatever you have constructed your life to be so far, and whatever you chose to believe in so far. And really assume this position of unconditional self-love, and then discern what is it you wish to keep, what is it you wish to modify, and what is it you wish, in a sense, to reconstruct.
Nice, I bet.
Yeah, so much about that. So, yeah, how about we play your track, and then we go back for the, let's say, next segment. We're gonna see if it's gonna be the last or whatever else is gonna come up.
Word.
So in this case, kindly announce the track that you've chosen.
Think this is a Beck track called Dark Star.
Mindset of belligerent silence. We got all we need, droning out of the tin can. Thinking about the rain under a thresher hood. Listen to the noise in the battery tape deck. A Judas train wreck, anonymous suspect. Hovering in carbon monoxide cremations. Loners waste away inside of vacant locations. Think tanks empty, international dream bank. Plugging my reactor to the fallout zone. Enemy story is a lot like mine, and if you get to the point, then you know better than I. Dark star, back your eyes much closer. Drivers riding out on the ice age. Infidels swallowed in a vanishing point. Ammunition souls shooting holes in the ozone. Widow's tears washing a soldier's bones. Sterilized egos, delirium sequels. Punctured by the arrows of American eagles. Robots to teach you all the rules to delete your backspace. My brain, my equilibrium goes. Dark star. Say
We are back live with Jim, Team Rabbit Hole edition number 3. We've already been exploring many, many different concepts. Well, Jim, where'd you like to go next?
Well, we can kind of wrap up because it just kind of came to me when we listened to that song. And I think we've done a good job, but ultimately I just want to kind of wrap up with the thought of authority. How do we know what it is? How should we respond to it? Is it outside of ourselves? Is it a part of ourselves being emulated outside? All these kinds of things. What's the best way to maintain authorship while being part of a big story that involves others? That kind of stuff. But we could talk about all sorts of other stuff too.
I'm all for a wrap up. Go ahead. There's some more things I'd like to say as well, but I think I need your interlinking to get on the right track.
Well, I know that it kind of can. It's easy to seem like one has all the answers, and it might even make one feel better. But I think in this endeavor of being, what we need to have is, like best, a sense of humility, which I think you do, and I do, with what we choose to participate in and believe in as good for where we are at that moment, and that's why we're experiencing these things. But at the same time, we need to be always curious and kind of wondering why things are the way they are. And I think just even having that curiosity doesn't lend itself to toppling over buildings for the sake of it necessarily, might prevent like an ossification and just kind of an abuse of the kind of systems that we've inherited as beings on this planet.
Right, so what I'd like to mention, because at the very end of the last segment you mentioned about knowing what's going on, and what I would like to say about that part is just that it's not so much about knowing what's going on in the world. It may be more about knowing what's going on within your own consciousness, with your own beliefs, with your own emotions, and your own behavior, of course. And then also knowing what's going on in the sense of at least taking a good look at all these ideas of reality creation, consciousness, quantum physics, and, you know, channeled material, for example, and different guidelines or positive thinking and so on, going through all of these and diets and just test them out for yourself. And then in that way, understanding what's going on, because you more and more understand what immense authority you actually have over your own life in terms of, you know, what you eat, what you think, what you believe, how you act, and so on and so forth. And then I would say everyone can, you know what's going on to the degree that's really relevant for them, and also within the direction of just increasing their own self-love, their own health, and their own joy within their lives.
Right on. Yeah, it's very basic, but it seems like the more we worry in a good sense, like the more we take care of ourselves and kind of look at our lives as the object to be shining, and just, it's hard not to be like, there's a line past which is like narcissistic and egotistical and stuff, but there is a point before that line at which it's like appreciation of self and appreciation of opportunity and cognition and all these kinds of things. I think what you're getting at ultimately though is if we're kind of authentically and willingly going through reality in terms of kind of a looser grip on it and saying we don't know, but we'll try X, Y, and Z, at the very least our worlds will look a little different. And if our worlds look different, that means the way in which we participate in the world as such at large is going to be different. And that's the kind of candle in the darkness, spread the flame of love vibe stuff we're going for. So I'm not totally overwhelmed, but it is interesting all the time to kind of just, like, hippies will be like, oh, here it comes, like 5D or whatever they're thinking, right? And then get like Epstein case stuff where it's like, well, maybe that is the nature in which the heart breaks through, where it's like really bad behaviors start becoming more and more apparent and we start like chiding them publicly, et cetera, et cetera. But no, basically you said it really well, and I agree with what you said.
Yeah, and all of these things, all of this increased awareness also of potential ideas and actions, we realize that we do not prefer collectively. The idea here being that the difference now is that maybe now there's, even though all these things had been discussed before, any type of exploitation in whatever way is actually not something new. And it is not that information about all of these things, economic, emotional, whatever other type of abuse, has for a long time, I would say, been known. But maybe the difference now in the consciousness and awareness is that individuals more and more are willing to look at it. And because this also always means looking at their own trauma and at their own issues, and that then even seen in a positive way, these things now being, you know, headlines and so on, could actually be a very positive development.
In a lot of ways they are. I mean, if I was to take a position on like, oh, illumination's happening and therefore more less preferred behaviors being more known and therefore we'll avoid these less preferred behaviors, that is a good thing. It's just it's like the tooth fairy. I mean, or, you know, when you lose a tooth as a kid, it's like, yeah, like it's going to hurt a little. There's still nerves attached. So it seems like the process of becoming, even as a collective, if one looks at it from a very particular position, it's the most beautiful gift. And we should probably try to engender this feeling more, but like gratitude and awe and wonder and stuff at the whole thing. I guess the issues start coming up when we have expectations and those expectations aren't going exactly how we would want collectively or individually. So when we're like, oh my God, why are there pedophile leaders and all this shit? It's like, yes, these things have been around for a long time, but because of the nature of information flow, I think, and just the nature of maybe men, women, racial, national kind of dynamics, a lot of fear and doubt was placed in a lot of systems that don't need them as much, but they were there for the, like, you know, you can't trust that enemy, or this woman doesn't know she's talking about, or all these kinds of paradigms, right? And it was for a sense of certainty that was an illusion, but now we're coming to a place where we kind of maybe are willing to cut out the fat of the ideas that don't serve us. And the trick is, and this is what I've always wondered, it's like, are we supposed to rage against the machine really hard and put up from the inside out, or are we supposed to just sit here and get zen about it and smile and just know, kind of Obi-Wan style, while the empire melts around us? Like, I'm not really for any one which way. I've just always kind of wondered, what models will I be witnessing during their changes in my play?
Yeah, I would assume that any and all of these roles obviously have their place, and actually many different ones, I could assume, or archetypes, you know, maybe emerging now, or recombination of energies, which then may be seen as archetypes, as you mentioned, they may all be necessary in various ways. Then I guess the question again would just be, which role do you prefer to play personally? And then, as with all things, can you really, can you live it with integrity for yourself? And even if you can just do that and really represent that role or that idea that you wish yourself to be, then that's already the biggest shift from trying to conform to whatever roles or systems have been handed down, in a sense, especially if they've been greatly distorted, as they oftentimes have.
So how do you wake up every day with the idea that these are inherited and distorted systems without necessarily flipping tables and going banana? Like, it seems like you're moving forwards in a lot of ways and being part of the change you want to see, but at the same time, it's not particularly violent and it's not like radical to the degree where you're not getting arrested and stuff like that. How do you, when you wake up, like, what's the kind of thing you're telling yourself to engage the day best?
Well, to me, it's really simple. I'm just like, okay, I'm here still again or whatever. So, you know, just, you know, it's this silly formula, which, you know, from my favorite Sasani friends, follow your highest excitement to the very best of my abilities without any expectations or insistence on the outcome, with integrity and love, take it as far as I can and then do the next thing. And I do that as much as I allow myself to be aware of that, while, you know, at the same time having all the, you know, same, you know, whatever degrees of paranoia and monkey mind thoughts and so on, but just as much as I can centering in that idea and then just allowing everything to flow from there. And this then, you know, can play out in very, very different ways. But what I also can say is that experientially it's proven itself that it's also really the perfect synchronicity engine. In terms of, like, I'm excited to do something and the opportunities arise. I'm excited maybe to have my peace, and the opportunity arises that I can be alone or whatever it is. So yeah, and in terms of generalized progression, for me it's really, again, every time I allow myself to be aware of it, it's really individual. So it's about how can I refine my own thoughts, my own internal dialogue, my own consciousness even more. And then, of course, equally in lockstep, act in that way in the world and see how can that perspective I have be translated into whatever apparently, whatever physicalized structure or society, or whatever I find before myself, while at the same time knowing that that is my self-reflection and was ultimately also created by myself, which of course is a funny thing, but yeah.
I appreciate you kind of going into that, because a lot of this is new for me, and to the degree that it's like, what system models are going to work best? I feel like I've been disappointed by a lot of models, and that is partly me bringing maybe expectations to them, and not that any model won't have disappointments at some level, but I feel like the kind of time for, on the one hand, it's like, well, let's make a survival raft out of a gut and try to float to new dimensions of reality, whether it's, you know, all these inherited things, consumerism and all this stuff. It's like, we're not going to just overnight abolish these ideas. We've got to be a part of the change that kind of comes to the new steps too. But at the same time, it seems like you're doing a really good job of staying mindful. And that is a practice in and of itself, which a lot of mystical and religious groups have pushed for a long time, and maybe more important now more than ever in our species history, where yes, we're part of the most interesting kind of play ever, but at the same time not getting so hype and caught up in, like, I think sometimes life can feel like almost like Moulin Rouge or something, where it's just so big and engrossing that we kind of get swept up in it, and it should have moments like that. But at the same time, we should also like know our lines, if you want to put it that way, and like know where we are on the stage to the degree that we can actually perform our functions well, whatever those might be. I guess ultimately, I just long-windedly rambled, but the point is, I do appreciate you kind of pragmatically walking through what you do, because it helps. It's one thing to talk about things kind of in an abstract way, but it's another thing to be like, all right, so how are you approaching each day? And it seems like you're approaching it as both a gift, which is good, and something that you can influence.
Right. And then here, even here, you know, it's a, in a sense, you know, this formula of highest excitement, originally channeled by Daryl Anka and Bashar, this Sasani so-called extraterrestrial future entity, is very practical, you know, and actually very simple. The formula just has a few parts, you know, follow your highest excitement, take it as far as you can. Discern that you're acting out of love, not out of fear, have no expectation, and then repeat the same thing again. And if you actually can consciously kind of wrap your mind around that and follow each part or check each part if you're feeling off, then at least to me and many others, this has worked out. And again, then this doesn't mean that you have to buy into the whole thing that this guy is talking about or whatever. It's not the that's not the point. The simple idea is that you can try this tool or just as many other tools and see if they work for you. The thing I like about this one is that it's pretty universal. It has to do with, again, you know, your gut feeling, your intuition, what you naturally and what your body feels like you have energy for and you have no resistance against. It includes the idea of self-awareness, self-discovery, and self-empowerment. And the most important thing, it's supremely dynamic, because it's not prescribing anything. And it's really about just, you know, you, again, listening to yourself and really feeling yourself. And well, if more and more individuals do that, then even in a systemic view, again, they can then really take care of themselves because they feel their own energy. And then you have a more and more stable system. If more and more elements can be pretty stable unto themselves, of course, always connected, but, you know, not having so many burnouts on the everywhere and not having so many, you know, let's say system failures and whatever. I'm not judging that. I'm just observing it. But individuals being able to take care of themselves, knowing also how to ask for help, knowing when to say no, and so on and so forth, and knowing what excites them. And then in my view, that's just, you know, very simple, very practical, with immediate benefits for individuals' lives. And also, if you extrapolate it, a society that at least I individually would very much appreciate living in. Tim?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was I supposed to respond? I was very much listening.
Oh, yeah, well, you know, I could go on, but, you know, that's it for now.
Word. Yeah, it just makes me, I mean, it's funny because I think we're much less a part of the past, I might think, though we're shaped by it. We're at a position in the moment of the present moment now to say we think we can do this better, but I don't know if anybody really has an idea of where it could go given the dynamics of power struggles and individual autonomy and all this stuff. So no matter how it crumbles, I think it'll be interesting. But at the same time, man, I really do hope the more movers and shakers and progressive thinking people, whoever they are, whether it's Zuckerberg types, which I don't fully agree with him on a lot of stuff, but it's like, I'm hoping that new leaders, including ourselves, our autonomous selves, kind of come into the picture and start making at least big enough splashes in terms of questions on the models, because that's the beginning of a lot of change, just asking questions. It doesn't mean we have the answer per se to fill in a void. It's like, it's almost like trimming a shrub. It's like, yes, it's a shrub, like it could be trimmed or like, you know, shaped. So I think, yeah, it's just an interesting place. Maybe, like I've said before, like we're programming reality in a very new way as citizens now. I'm not sure how much reality programming a general Roman citizen could have done or a British citizen back in the day. But at this point, given a few parameters, internet access and like that kind of thing, one can, like, the sky's the limit.
Yeah, not even sure about that part.
In what sense?
Whether the sky's the limit or not.
Yeah, I mean, this, what it seems right now, what we're doing, and I haven't seen any movies about it much recently. I guess there was one with George Clooney and kind of this breakaway utopian, I forget what it's called, but this Disney, shitty Disney movie. Futureland, Tomorrowland, maybe it was called. But it's kind of getting to an Ayn Rand point where it's like, all right, the system's working, but not for everybody. But then there's people who are getting really burnt out by the system because it's not only not working out for everybody, but it's definitely going against their own inherent, like, values. So it'd be interesting to see. I mean, Facebook was kind of a reaction to this, and it became part of the system, if you want to put it that way now. But it's still largely alternative way of communicating before the implementation of the platform in MySpace and stuff. It was all new. So, and this is recent history, much in the same way that telecommunications history was the 21st or the 20th century's kind of big thing, and kind of getting everybody wired and talking on the same bandwidth. It'll be interesting to see what happens the next kind of 10, 20 years, given so many kind of outside pressures, storms increasing size, ecological issues, whatever, whatever. I know you have a more optimistic point of view, but these problems that we've created for ourselves are going to need pretty interesting and creative solutions, it seems. And I hope we're ready for that, because that seems like the problem we've given ourselves.
Right. Well, I would just say that to the extent that we had the capacity or have the capacity, obviously, to destroy and poison our environment and ourselves, we equally have the capacity to change it all around.
Amen.
Yeah. So I don't know if is there anything else that you would like to mention on this whole. I actually think we found a proper naming for the session tonight, which would be authority or the Hierophant.
Nice. I guess my thoughts would be something that I'm just working out. Like Team Rabbit Hole is a meme page, and it's not much more than that right now, but I think in the near future it's going to start becoming more. So that's kind of why I was wondering about just random stuff I'm doing with your projects and meetups, because it seems like a confederation of information is, like, yes, TED Talks are cool and MTV is cool and all this stuff, like there's big monolithic kind of outlets like CNN or whatever, but at some level it seems like the next wave is going to be a much more confederational kind of satellite wave of, not guerrilla radio particularly, but something more along those lines, where it's like, look, you get the big pictures, but we're going to talk about the kind of the details. And I know you're kind of getting on the ground and doing that shit, whether it's with channeling or kind of ancient methodologies and wisdom teachings kind of getting reintroduced in new kind of discussions. So I'm just excited to kind of see where a lot of these thought experiment groups and kind of energies that we've created kind of go. It's going to be interesting to see kind of what happens with the gremlins we've created.
Yeah, well, you know, ultimately all technology is just functions of consciousness externalized. And what I'd like to do at this point is just read a short quote from The Law of One, One Question, One Answer by Ra regarding technology.
Word.
All right, so it goes like this. The question is, this is session 8-11. Questioner says, wouldn't this, apparently they're talking about UFOs. Yeah. Wouldn't this type of craft totally solve or come close to solving a lot of the energy problems as far as transport goes? And then the rest is apparently inaudible on the tape. However, it's about transporting in a craft. And Ra says, I am Ra. The technology your peoples possess at this time is capable of resolving each and every limitation which plagues your social memory complex at this present nexus of experience. However, the concerns of some of your beings with distortions towards what you would call powerful energy cause these solutions to be withheld until the solutions are so needed that those with the distortion can then become further distorted in the direction of power. Well, that's the quote. What do you say?
Interesting. I kind of want to read it, but it sounds like what you're saying is like it's always going to be moving towards direction, and those playing bad games will just become more defined by those games, but will become aware of those dynamics as those dynamics become more apparent.
Yes, it appears so. And also, I mean, it's interesting because it seems like he's kind of suggesting that this would only be released if they find a way that, oh, they, there is no they actually. So it's already the illusion of separation. However, within this idea that if the power structure would assume it could attain more power by releasing energy technology, only then it would be released. Probably or potentially, this may even be true to some extent. However, in one way, we could say, maybe it doesn't matter, or maybe if you're able to look through it, you can use it in a different way. And at the same time, of course, as with all technology, as with all information, all awareness, all knowledge, all wisdom, if individuals just choose to more and more freely share it and be courageous in that sense, then it doesn't matter what any imagined type of power structure would want to do anyhow.
I can dig that.
Right. So that's the idea about other types of energy. And just to get back to your question, in terms of you were asking about how this whole thing would be coming together, or what is the direction you want to take this in?
Well, it just seems like So back in like the early 2000s, you had like a lot of people probably waking up politically, but not sure what to do. And then I think with the 2012 thing, it turned into more of a cosmic awakening, and our destiny as a species kind of in a different light. And I think at this point, there's a few kind of conversations on the table, but for the species as a whole, but it's like coming out of the kind of control dramas. So we haven't even really maybe discussing maybe the more important things, but that'll happen when we need to have that occur. So, I mean, obviously, I want to be talking about like, how can we change the climate for the better or prevent it or, you know, all this stuff, but maybe it's going to take some kind of a contact event or something weird to cause us all to shift our thinking and not, and kind of get out of the work week, if you want to put it that way. But it seems like we're in these days. So I'm not sure if it's like today, tomorrow, next week kind of thing, but for the past decade and probably for the continuing next decade or two, it'll be some very big transitional phases for our species.
I would say that it definitely requires some type of a contact event. However, that doesn't necessarily mean that aliens are landing. However, it would more mean the contact between yourself and your higher self, or the contact between yourself and your awareness of your own intuition, connectedness with everything. I would say that's the type of contact event that is required. However, that also then ultimately is very individualized, you know, because these things may be triggered by anything, which kind of brings me back to what you mentioned earlier about narratives becoming stale. I was kind of laughing to myself thinking, oh, all the triggers already got hit. So we kind of, are we finally done with that game, you know? So it requires a contact event. However, that's very individual. And also once it is, let's say, processed, then whatever then happens in the apparent outside can be seen from a much more neutral perspective and in a much more calm, from a much more calm point of view, because one's own apocalypse in that sense already happened. One's own contact with whatever ideas that previously one had hidden from oneself already happened to some extent, at least. So then when it happens in the apparent outside, or there's the apparent big collective shifts, it's not so much anymore that they have to trigger me so much, but it's more like the playback, in a sense, of some of the steps that one already took for themselves.
That makes total sense. The mind that came to my brain, there's a terrible movie from the 90s called Waterworld with, I forget the guy's name. He was in Dancing with Wolves, Kevin something. I'm forgetting his name. Anyway, there's this dude who's like hidden and trapped in this whale well, and he has no light, and he like lives on someone's spit kind of thing, like totally torturous. And at the end, basically somebody drops a fire, like I don't even know what they're called in German, but kind of a traffic signal flare, and they drop into this oil tanker and it blows them all up. So the reason I'm saying this is like, and it's so dark and dramatic, but it's not that way. It's like he had gone through his own apocalypse and his issue, and he was kind of just waiting for the whole ship to blow up for everybody else too. I think that's what you're getting at, whereas like there's going to be some level of apotheosis and awakening at the individual level, and when that starts happening, almost the waves and water and wind of the storm of the reality outside of us ceases to be the same.
Precisely. And of course then what we can also get into is this idea that the more this happens, again, as I said, individual process, which then is reflected in the outside. However, the more it becomes reflected, the more one becomes, let's say, certain within that, the stronger the reflection in that sense. And also just in general, if you would say for yourself, you move into the direction of self-love and in a sense, freedom, then with each step you take, the circle gets larger and larger. And the contact in that sense with the surrounding, whatever there is more, surface area also becomes more and more.
Yeah, as Rupa Cheap would say in C.S. Lewis's Narnia book series, further up and further in.
Precisely. And this is also for just to reference this whole contact idea or this whole alien idea, that much of the channeled material also speaking of the relevance of actually connecting inwardly, much more importantly than seeing things in the sky. Although even here, from what I hear from recent transmissions by Bashar, that apparently there is an island, I believe it's some area somewhere, I believe it's somewhere in South America, and that apparently there's so many maneuvers going on, it's getting really hard to kind of like keep it under the table. And the whole thing is interesting because the same weekend he did a transmission where he was kind of like, I want to say almost reprimanding the audience and kind of saying like, well, now it's really time for you to step up. And for me, what was kind of strange to me initially is he said, you really have to vote. He's talking in America, right? And I was like, wow, alien getting political now, that's really strange. Usually they refrain from that. And I was kind of turned off by it because personally, I'm not a very big fan of the current political systems. And what he was suggesting was actually to vote and vote early, because at least in this type of logic, which I'm not even sure I would agree on, it said that if you vote earlier, there is less potential for manipulation because it would be counted earlier, even though in my estimation, there's still enough other ways you could manipulate something, but whatever. And then, of course, later on in the conversation and the transmission, Bashar was explaining, because he got asked about this, same questions I had now. And he said, what it's really about is about speaking your truth publicly. So in a sense, also what we are doing right here and now, and not in that sense keeping your personal convictions or your perspectives or your beliefs private, especially if you anyhow feel inclined to share them or would believe it's relevant, but to actually quote unquote be bold enough or have enough confidence in yourself to be sharing it and to be communicating it, and not keeping it to yourself. So that was kind of like the main message. And the same weekend, however, also he put forth this idea that, yeah, there is, are these sightings. And so as much as there was this reprimanding idea in a sense, at this very same moment, he was delivering this very powerful idea of a, he called it Earth Zero. So just zeroing in on your frequency and then, you know, switching to whatever reality you wish, basically, which anyhow is nothing new, but just resharing such a tool and also focusing on this idea of these sightings. So, yeah, again, it seems like both sides in a sense are increasing, and it really depends now whether you would prefer for yourself to be, let's say, steered by others, or whether you want to take the ability to respond, the responsibility for your own life, which is a very positive thing, actually, because it's, that is the flexibility and the freedom. And it has not so much to do with having to do anything, but much more to do with being free to respond to anything in the way that you wish.
Well said.
Oh, thank you. This is what I would say channeling now. So
that's what's up. I don't know if there's anything more you want to talk about or if you wanted to kind of wrap it up. It's up to you, obviously.
Oh, well, as we are co-creating this, we have, you know, as much time as we want. At the same time, we can wind it down. I mean, yeah. Or maybe we can do both at the same time. Let's see. Well, is there anything else that maybe we haven't mentioned this session that you would still like to bring up or that's really on your mind or something maybe that's left on the topics as we, that we've discussed or also something new? Whatever you wish.
No, I think we covered a lot. This just gets into like how can we best be programming our reality, and given that we're in concert with a lot of other programmers that may have more or less power than we might perceive ourselves as having. So it's like, all right, I think these are kind of, in a lot of ways, I think these are kind of necessary, but cliche kind of conversations, in the sense that most people have probably dealt with these in mentorship kind of dynamics, and I've never had that. So it's like, it's very helpful for me kind of wading through waters intellectually at some level of heart matters and mind matters with you and others, to see what makes the most sense and then to try to actually apply it, because a lot of rhetoric has just, there's a lot of rhetoric out there. So you can kind of pick whatever feels good or whatever you agree with. But at the end of the day, that has only gotten our species so far. So I think some of the conversations we need to be having that are occurring these days are tough, but good and probably more or less necessary for our upgrading.
Yes, and just to mention about having influence or being a programmer, luckily for each and every one of us, it's not a competition, and it's not that we're in the matrix waking up and then, you know, the more powerful programmer or whether my hack is better than Anderson's virus or whatever, that's not really the thing. The idea is much more that you always have and always have had ultimate control, and any influence by any outside source can only influence you if you actually allow it in. And also here, everyone can start to learn in that sense about their own firewall or their own aura in that sense, and then be very precise and clear about what beliefs they actually wish to accept or not. And again, this is often associated with very immediate feelings or intuition or thoughts. So if one, just maybe bringing it back again to this idea, is more and more mindful of oneself, then also these things are very much possible.
That's what's up. I like ultimately that I think we're coming to these things with an attempt to try to be, because it's one thing to say, here's all the data, and then like it's another thing to say, what did you get out of the data? And it's another thing to say, what should you be getting out of the data? You know, like all this kind of stuff. But bottom line, I think what we're capable of doing kind of with these times and these kind of technologies is prying open questions that are at least on our minds and maybe causing other people to go down rabbit holes that maybe they wouldn't normally go. That doesn't mean disappear forever and, you know, go crazy, but it does mean question everything and kind of find the others and try to make sense of it the best you can, all from a place of both loving kindness and compassion.
Yeah, and even here, isn't it that Alice does come out on the other side, no?
I haven't ever read the stories. I've only seen the Disney movie. I'm pretty sure she comes out because there's like sequels and stuff. So I'm going to guess there's, you know, dreams do end at some level. But no matter what, I am very appreciative of having you in my reality tunnel to the degree where I can kind of bounce off whatever I'm going through and see what your two cents are.
And maybe to reference again the whole Morpheus idea and the whole dreams we just brought up, the idea then would be that ultimately everything is a dream in the mind of the one creator. So as much as then one might say when reconstructing your beliefs, you're entering a dream world, and of course there's a lot, you know, relevant importance to whatever grounding may mean to each and every one. This is a big topic to explore. But ultimately, the idea is that it's all a dream. And the more you realize that, the more you can become lucid in that dream and then choose what it is you wish to dream. And there's still great complexity to the whole thing in terms of how it all plays out and the different layers, and to understand them and to be able to deal with them, also to respect, in a sense, one's own temporary limitations, even self-chosen. So there's many different things to learn and understand about this. But ultimately, yeah, it's about becoming lucid and then realizing that you've always made a choice for yourself. So now again, also from your conscious waking state level as a human, you can make conscious choices. And then you no longer need to react to anything that's happening to you, but you can always observe yourself and then be free to respond.
Well said. Very wise.
Well, the aliens told me. What can I tell you now?
Exactly. And maybe next time we'll talk a little more about psychedelics and kind of how we should be discerning that information. What kind of, I don't even know, technologies or kind of cultural shifts could happen if we open up our minds to different tools, et cetera, et cetera. But I'm kind of brain dead. It seems like I'm running out of juice.
Well, that's perfect, you know. And as also in the Ra channelings, they always say, they kind of are very attentive to stop, you know, before the, let's say, life energy of the entity is being used, in a sense. So we only use the surplus excitement energy and the energy as long as there is no resistance. So this is the perfect timing then, synchronistically, of course, to end this session. Thank you so much. And at this point, I just invite you to speak some last words before I'm going to play another amazing track by Kay Lone called Barbarossa. Thank you very much, and talk to you all next time.
Yeah, I guess the last two cents. Raphael, you're a great guy. I'm glad we've stumbled upon each other digitally. Hopefully our paths can cross in the flesh at some point. I know you're getting out there moving and shaking with your stuff. I hope to be doing similar things myself. But no, it's really just helpful kind of having deep and wise opinions on things that you're bringing up, but they're not being like forced or coerced, and it's just discussed. And I think that kind of soil is going to be most conducive for the kind of plants we want to be looking at in the near future for our species in terms of world. So much mahalo for that. And yeah, I'll talk to you when we talk next. Adios, amigo.